This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
How was your Memorial Day?
Very good.
Was it?
Well celebrated, so that was nice.
Nice. Did you grill out?
No, I'm sans grill right now.
Oh, man. Did you read some comics?
Yes, I read some comics.
What'd you read?
I'm still on Clone Saga, so... Yeah, I've been hardcore into it, not trying to let the DC Essentials Memorial Day sale sway me on my continuous journey down Clone Saga.
I've been very good.
Oh.
I did not have the day off of work, so I worked today.
Oh god, a full day?
Yeah, I got off at like 5:30, 5:45.
Jesus.
Yep.
I hope you get paid like holiday pay for that at least.
Oh no, I'm salaried, dude. I don't get paid for holidays.
Oh man.
But no, everyone worked today, so it's fine.
Okay.
I wasn't the only one. Everybody worked, but I'm proud because I did not purchase a single comic off this Memorial Day sale.
Wow.
Not a single one. I thought about it.
Not even the Wildstorm 25th anniversary.
Nope.
With the unpublished two stories?
Nope.
Wow,
it's in my cart. Have... Let me tell you, there's like 25 books in my cart.
Well, I got news for you. Okay, with this Memorial Day sale, let's stay on this topic. I went through that mother effer. And when DC does a sale, like they either do just one character, or it's almost like they just blow the hinges off all their graphic novels and like, let's just put them all on sale.
Yeah.
And then there they all are.
Yeah.
The cheapest I've ever seen them is like $4.99. Sometimes I'll put them at $3.99, but that's like that's a rainbow unicorn.
Mm-hmm.
So $5.99 for like a big, you know, like 16 issue graphic novel. That's a good, you know, whatever it is, page per price. I'm all over that. But the amount was the thing that just shocked the hell out of me.
Yeah, it's like everything.
So I had like a good amount of money in there waiting for something like this. And I knew like usually Memorial Day, you'll soon learn like I'm used to doing this for 3 years. So it's like sometimes holidays will get a really good sale. Sometimes when TV shows or movies are coming up that weekend, they'll get a good sale on that character.
Mm-hmm.
And then it seems like they've really been doubling down on if Comixology is going to have a table at such and such con, there's going to be a con sale going along with it.
Yeah.
So just hold up and like, especially like if you like independent stuff, they always do it. They always does an Eisner sale.
Yep.
So you'll get a good independent like sale then, or right around Christmas time, they usually do a decent sale, but like, it's exciting and it's fun, but I had a good chunk of change waiting for a good sale, and thank God it hit. So I like emptied that thing out, and I even reached out to you and a couple other buddies, like out of these titles, what can I let go by the wayside? And some people were like, none. And it's like, well, that doesn't help when I only have X amount and I'm willing to drain that down. And right now I have to cut $30 from that X amount to be able to hit it.
Mm-hmm.
Like saying none, please just go away. Yeah. Note to self, don't ask you that same question next time there's a sale, because useless. So I wore that out. And then all of a sudden, the mom steps up to bat without me ever bringing up anything like this. She's like, happy Memorial Day, wanted to send you something. And she sent me $20 credit for a gift card Comixology. Like completely out of the blue. Like that doesn't happen. That's the rainbow unicorn. So right then I was like, ooh, now I can pick up another four titles.
Mm-hmm.
And those were the most glorious titles. Why? Because I didn't spend any money on those titles.
Yep. Free is always the best.
Heck yeah, and especially surprising like that. I was just like floored she would even think to do something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there's still a couple hours left in the sale, so I'll probably end up buying some stuff. I don't have the Volume 4 Batman Golden Age stuff, so I'm going to get
that.
I might get that Wildstorm. They've got a good chunk of the Injustice stuff on here.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So maybe I'll get those so Aaron will shut the hell up about reading Injustice. Other than that, the best place to go on the sale, you got to scroll like halfway down the page. Because, you always talk about like value per page. If you go down to, what's it called? Not Villains. Through the Ages.
See, can I just give you like how I scroll? Because now they have it set up perfectly. If you scroll all the way to the bottom, then it's just graphic novels A through F, F through blah, and you're not going to miss one. Because you're right. If you go to Villains, that title could be in Villains, and it also could be in Batman because it's a Batman villain. Or you, if you don't go through Villains, you might miss a graphic novel.
Yeah, that's true.
But I don't want that.
The Through the Ages, I think, is the best deal. Because some of these are like $30, $40 books for $5.99.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas a lot of these are like, I don't know, Batman by Scott Snyder, like issue 1 through 4 for $5.99.
Or especially like the Rebirth stuff is like 4 issues.
Yeah.
And hey, 4 issues for $5.99, a hell of a lot better than cover price. But when most of the stuff goes on sale, it's 99 cents. So at that point, I want to get at least 6 issues.
Mm-hmm.
In my head, I want to get 6 issues, unless I'm dying to read that. Then it doesn't really matter.
Yep. So I think I'll do those. I might get the Golden Age Superman stuff.
What about the Supergirl?
I don't know about the Supergirl, but I think I'm going to get the Batgirl 75-year celebration.
Ooh, nice.
I might get that. I think I might get the Shazam. There's some Brian K. Vaughan Swamp Thing I might pick up.
Oh.
What else? There was one more. Damn, I can't remember now. And yeah, the Wildstorm, and there was something else. I'll have to look through the list.
I finished off all of the 50 and 75 year anniversary characters. I finished off all those, as well as the, what is it, Tales of Batman? Where it's an artist or a writer spotlighted.
Yep.
Yeah, I figured, what the hell? Those seem like, at least when I approach like the 50 or 75 or even the tales of, those for me are more about what is this editor going to give me?
Mm-hmm.
Like even the Arkham books where it's like spotlighted on, Killer Croc. It's like that almost is like, let me follow this editor and his or her mindset for these are the best stories. I don't know if I would agree with it, but, who's picking Gene Colan, favorite Batman stories. It isn't him. So, but I sort of like to see that because it gives a nice overview of the character or the writer or artist.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. You should get that Kelly Jones one. I think the Kelly Jones. Oh, you did? Okay. He's got a new book coming out.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. It's Batman King of Fear. It's
that sounds good.
Yeah. It's a Scarecrow miniseries.
Ooh, who's writing it?
Scott Peterson.
He did
a bunch of Wildstorm stuff back in the day, like when DC first took over Wildstorm.
Mm-hmm.
He did a bunch of that stuff.
Kelly Jones.
Yeah, Kelly Jones. I didn't even know he was still alive.
Did you see that they have on that sale, they have a couple of his Dead Man stuff?
Yeah, I did see that.
Yeah.
I thought about it, but Dead Man's like hit or miss for me, dude.
Agreed. Same here, but Kelly Jones is never miss.
That is very true.
Yeah.
That is very true.
But what was shocking compared to other like line-wide sales that they've shown on DC, I was shocked at I think there was 5 Kirby items in there.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Which unless it's a Kirby sale, those DC, like DC never honors that type of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like the old Suicide Squad, like they had that, whatever it is, Golden Age one for Suicide Squad, and I was like, wow, I've never seen that available in one of these sales. So yeah. There's some good stuff, including like, they even had like a lot of the Animal imprint included, because usually Vertigo and like that Animal imprint with Doom Patrol,
yeah,
and
Young Animal,
yeah, that stuff's never included. They'll have a Young Animal sale or they'll have a Vertigo sale, mm-hmm. but they never really mix and match, which was nice.
Agreed.
Yeah, it's a good sale.
Agreed. Did you, I don't want to switch topics so abruptly.
I want to switch topics.
Okay.
I have to ask you a question.
I'll let you go then.
It's comic book related. And it even goes back why you haven't bought anything on Comixology. With your new podcast, Comic Talk Today.
Never heard of it.
Do you find yourself, I know you have to buy more new stuff, not have to, but you know, you want to do it for the podcast.
Sure.
As well as gift new stuff to listeners, which is fantastic.
Sure.
But do you find yourself roped into, I got to read new. Or do you like, I'm going to read new for whatever, half of my time, and then I'm going to read whatever old stuff you want to go to?
Yeah, that's actually, I'm glad you brought that up. I was listening to Mike Gem's Weekly Reads the other day.
That's a good podcast.
It's a great podcast.
Yeah.
That last episode was, it was a shocker.
That was a shocker. I was worried he got infected from the comfy couch. Now he's sick, and now he's closing a lot of titles off. Wow.
Mm-hmm. We might have given him the scurvy.
I think so.
It's possible. But no, I was listening to that, and because you know, Mike always talks about being a mood reader, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I totally get that. I find myself that I'm a mood reader with old stuff, but not with new stuff. And like, yeah, I am picking up a lot more stuff, partially because of the podcast, but really because I want to try different things. And I think as a result of that, I don't feel like I need to be in a mood to read a particular thing. I just need to be in a mood to read, you know? So generally, what I've noticed the last, like, I don't know, maybe the last month or so, mm-hmm. is I'm reading, like, everything that I get on a Wednesday. I read in, like, basically one sitting.
Wow.
And it, I mean, it's kind of tough sometimes, depending on, like, the kind of book that I'm reading. Right, because I don't even know what I'm reading right now, like 15 to 20 books a week sometimes.
Whew.
And yeah, so like I sit down and I'm just like reading for, you know, 3 or 4 hours.
Yeah.
Because I take my time. But what I notice is I enjoy them a lot more because I'm reading them all at once. Because, mm-hmm. you know, usually like you can probably read a 22-page comic in like 5 minutes, right?
Depending.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, like yeah. 5-10 minutes. But, you know, if you're reading 20 books, that would be like, what, an hour, hour and a half. But I find, yeah, I find it takes me a lot longer.
Unless it's a Warren Ellis or Louise Simonson book, then you could double that time.
Right. But there's not a whole lot of books like that nowadays.
Correct.
You know, I mean, there's some exceptions of books where you have to read carefully. But mm-hmm. for the most part, I think they can all go pretty quickly. But I find myself that the more that I read, the longer it takes me to read because I want to like savor each one more.
Mm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. I also want to ask by not forcing yourself that I need to do a pot. I want to make these items that are part of my stack. I want to talk about them on my podcast and I want to be relevant to when they come out. So you sort of are putting up imaginary deadlines for, I need to talk about this on Friday, so hurry,
mm-hmm.
hurry.
Mm-hmm.
Does that increase your, like, not expectation. Does it increase your excitement to want to read it?
Yes.
Because when I used to go to my comic book store back in the day, when I knew there was a title that was hitting, like Planetary, or, you know, any of the titles that just, they went straight to my heart. They were at the top of the stack every time they came out. Doesn't matter. Well, actually, I was the opposite. It would be at the bottom of my stack. Something that I got excited that I have to get through this stack because I want to read, I really want to read the thing that's at the bottom of that stack. So I was just curious, do you still get that excitement and anticipation for those special titles that are coming out?
So that's actually interesting. So you remember, what was it, like last year?
Is this
sometime?
An episode of Comic Talk Today? Cue the theme music. No.
This would be like a good Therapy Thursday episode. You know, if you remember last year, I think it was when I did The Culling, right? I was reading, I don't even know, like 80 books, 90 books. And we cut down quite a bit, right? Like I talked to you about it. I talked to Paul a lot about it. And I was down like, I cut a lot. I was down to like, I don't know, 30 books a month maybe. And the part of the reason for that was I was getting so much, I wasn't finding the time to read the books. And so as a result, reading the books felt like a chore.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is odd logic because now I'm reading as much, if not more, than I was reading before the culling. And I don't feel it's a chore at all. You know, like I was putting rules on what I would read. Like, so,
yes.
So if I knew,
I was just about to bring that up to you. You had weird rules that went beyond, I'm a Batman fan and I need to buy every Batman that comes out.
Yeah. 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 I mean, there wasn't like excessive number of rules, but like no. I would always kick off with something that I knew was generally a solid book, right? Or by a writer that I generally considered to be a great writer. And I would assume I would enjoy the book. And then I would end with the same thing, right? A tried and mm-hmm. true. Just because, like, if there was some crappy stuff in between that I didn't want to read, I knew that if I got through it, I could get to the next thing, right? Like the whole carrot thing.
Yeah.
But
what you need to wet the whistle, prime the pump at the beginning.
Yes.
So you're ready to go.
Exactly. But what I find now is I don't need any of those rules.
Oh.
Because by telling myself, look, I'm going to talk about X number of books on the podcast. Mm-hmm. I'm going to just go ahead and read my whatever books I picked up that week and read them by, I don't know, like generally I try to do the top of the pile like Saturday, right? Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. the last couple of weeks I've been a little busier, so I push it through the weekend until Monday. And that's fine because it gives me like an extra day or two to read.
Sure.
But I find that like by giving myself that constraint, that's the only rule that I need is like I have to be done with the majority of my books by the time that I do the top of the pile episode.
You know, the thing that I've noticed with your change is like Mother Panic. If Mother Panic all of a sudden had an arc that was that you were not into, or it changed an artist or writer and you weren't into them, unlike before your first calling, this time I can see your mind frame just being like, you know what, I'm going to drop Mother Panic for the time being. There's other books that I can put in, you know, top of the pile or the, you know, that type of thing. Like you're not married to any certain titles.
Correct.
Where before you would be like, no, I've collected Mother Panic for 2 years. I have to continue this.
Well, and then if you notice,
which was crazy.
And if you notice, I generally don't talk about like tried and true books that I read mm-hmm. all the time, right? Like I think yeah. I've talked about one Batman issue the whole time.
Sure.
I don't think I've talked about any detective comics the whole time.
There's plenty of other podcasts doing those comics.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
I like that you don't talk about that. Not that I want you to do an indie podcast, but it's nice to hear someone talking about a comic that might have been sort of overlooked.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And that's what's important, right? Because like everyone's going to pick up Batman. Like look at the sales numbers.
Right.
Right. It's always a top book. So I don't need even to convince anyone to read it. Yeah, even a Terrifics.
Yeah. But it's that one writer or artist that might be doing something on a secondary publisher, or maybe they switched over and they're doing something on Vertigo that isn't getting a lot of pull. That's the type of stuff I want to hear about.
Yeah, right. And I mean, I think sometimes I fail to talk about everything that I read. I find myself in particular with like, I don't know, like Titan Comics or Lion uh-huh. Forge, Dynamite or IDW. Like I'm reading books by those publishers, but I don't generally talk in depth about those. You know, I think I've done like maybe two IDW books uh-huh. the whole time. And it's not that they don't put out good stuff. It's just like for me to talk about it, it has to either be totally amazing or it has to be completely against my expectations of the book.
I do not on if I can be in charge of your podcast, if you made me executive producer on Comic Talk Today, I would not want you talking about a 3 out of 5 or below comic book unless you're like, dude, this is garbage, hot garbage, avoid put the money back in your pocket. Okay, but a 3 out of 5, people should still buy those. But I don't need you to, like, I want to see the rare find, you know, the one that shines above all. That's what I want you to talk about. And if you were to talk about all of the comic books you've read in that week, your podcast would be over an hour. And as an executive producer, I don't want that. Right. Comic Talk today should be about 20 to 25 minutes, maybe a little longer if you have a guest person that you're interviewing. Okay, maybe a little longer then. But you just talking? No. Hour plus? No. 20 minutes. I want to be in and out.
Mm-hmm.
And you do that. You do that really good. You're very concise, and I appreciate that.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, there's some things that I still play around with. I've got people that listen on the Flash Briefing on the Echo, the Alexa. They rate the podcast well, but of course, because they're listening on that, like on the Flash Briefing, you want to do like a 5-minute thing.
Oh, jeez.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because it's just like a quick in and out, like while you're brushing your teeth or taking a shower, you catch up on whatever happened the previous day.
Mm.
So if you subscribe to like what, I don't know, whatever's on there, NPR and some other garbage, like by the time you're done with your shower, you're caught up on everything.
You know?
So I've thought about doing like a 5-minute thing just for that, but I don't want to do like a separate podcast. You know what I mean? Because originally,
unless you can edit out. This is the top of, like, you have, here's the books I've read, you know, 5 through 2. And then you have a dedicated almost stop where you're like, and this is the top of the pile for the week of blah, blah, blah. It's blah, blah, blah. And you talk about it for 5 minutes, unless you can edit that out. So it's so clean that it's like, I can just edit that 5 minutes out and put it completely as a different podcast over here.
Yeah.
That would be the only way I would think you could do that. Because I wouldn't want to, like, here's the top of the pile, and then you talk about it, and then you have to go back and voice over so it has the date. And the, you know, it's like, I wouldn't want to do that much editing.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a 5-minute podcast.
Yeah. Well, and one of the original inspirations for the show was the Daily Tech News Show. And they do that, right? It's a Daily Tech News Show, of course, like the title says. And they do, it's like, you know, 30, 45 minutes where they go through the news, but they have discussion on each news item. But they also have a separate podcast that's just the headlines, Daily Tech headlines. And that they would do like on the Echo, right? Because you expect the 5-minute podcast.
Sure.
But to me, like, that's like, it might work okay for tech news or like breaking world news, but it doesn't work well for talking about comics. Like, how much can I inform you on comics in 5 minutes?
I think you could inform quite a few people. I mean, I Am Gotham could be brought down to each issue being 5 minutes. You could do that.
I Am Gotham, yes, but not Comic Talk Today. Like, I could do...
It's top of the stack.
Right.
That's about it.
Like, I could do top of the pile, just like run through each book and give a review, but or a you know, a rating. But to me, that wouldn't be interesting, right? Mm-hmm. Like, if I want to do a 5-minute on the news, I could do that. But whenever I do the news once a week, I like to just pick, like, a couple of stories and talk about each one for, like, 10 minutes, right? Because I think that the reason people listen to the podcast is not so much to know what the news are or what comics are coming out, but they want to know what I think about them. And I can't do that in 5 minutes.
I could see it being 5 to 10 minutes, but at that point, I would say that you'd need an editor. Like, how much time in the day do you have to do it, you know?
Yeah, right. Yeah, I mean, the shortest episode I've done for Comic Talk Today was, like, 18 minutes, I think. And, I mean, I probably could have done that episode in like, 3 or 4. Because, really, all I did was pose a question on it, and I kind of gave some thoughts, but it was really just asking a question. So I don't know.
You could rejigger it if you really wanted to do that. But boy, at that point, you got to be thinking in shortened segments.
Sure,
you know, just to be able to hit it. Like, I want to post up and be done with that topic in 7 minutes. Okay, good. On to the next.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, ooh,
yeah. But then again, I don't want to like subject the show to that many rules.
Yep.
Right? Because then it wouldn't be fun for me. Like, I love doing the show because I could just babble for, you know, 20, 30 minutes. And I don't write anything down, right? Like, I don't even write creators down. I have a pretty good memory, so a lot of times it just comes off the top of my head. But, like, if I know, like, I just recorded the Comic Predictor for tomorrow, right? So I did some news and did the Comic Predictor. And usually I try to do, like, 5 or 6 books. But, Nick, there was so much crap coming out tomorrow. It was, like, 12 books on the Comic Predictor. And there's no way in hell that I could remember that many creators. You know what I mean?
No.
So I've got, like, the Diamond page where it gives me the description and the creative team. So I can I can scroll to the tabs. But
good.
Other than that, I don't write anything down, right?
Wow.
Like, one of the other inspirations for the show, I think I told you, was the Lunduk show. And he does pretty much, like, a 30-minute rant every single day. And but he does it on YouTube in video. So he's got a presentation going in the background, right? Like, different slides. And it's just, like, a question or, like, a pertinent, like, fact or whatever. And he talks about that. And then he, like, you know, flips through the slides. And I wanted to do that originally. But, A, I'm not doing video, so it doesn't really matter. And, B, I found that it became a lot more work than I wanted to put into it. Because when I talk on the podcast, I want to be genuine, right? Like, people like this podcast because we bullshit and we're genuine. You know, when you start, like, putting outlines down. I think we tried to do that when we first started doing this podcast. We had outlines and, like, you know, pointed topics that we wanted to discuss. And then over time, like, all that went by the wayside. Because it was a lot more fun to just get on here and just bullshit and see what happens. So, I don't know. There's a time and a place for preparing on a podcast. But I don't think the stuff that I generally enjoy talking about, I don't think it works as well if I prepare. You're on mute.
My bad. I was just saying that when I do the interviews or the questions with you that we're goofing around, I'm not flying by the seat of my pants on that.
Well, yeah, okay, fine. But that's also slightly different.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's why they're not done every week.
Yeah, exactly. That's why they're not done every week.
Right.
And see, I don't even do that, dude. Like, when I have creators on Comic Talk Today, I don't prepare anything. Like, not a single thing.
Well, that's impressive.
Like, if, you know, obviously they have, like, a book coming out, I'll have, like, the page for that book out, so I know, like, what the name of the book is and who they're working on the book with. But other than that, it's by the seat of my pants, bro.
Which is great.
Well, it's your fault.
How is it my fault? Come on.
Because I have fun doing this podcast because we don't prepare.
Oh, right?
No, because it comes off more genuine, right? And I think people appreciate that more.
Mm.
And the thing is, like, when you talk to creators, right, a lot of people have, like, an outline that they go by, right? Like, you expect certain things in an interview. And, you know, when I have somebody on that I want to talk to, I don't want to, like, ask them the same questions that everybody else is asking, right? Because if somebody's got a book out, like, for example, when I had Zach and Lonnie on, right? Like, they do a Marvel book, they do a Black Mass book, they do an Aftershock book, they've got more stuff in the works, like, and they're on a few different podcasts promoting those books.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody's asking the same thing, right? Like, how'd you guys meet? Like, how is it working with blah, blah, blah? Like,
sure.
Why'd you choose to do this on this specific panel on this page? And, like, everyone's asking that kind of stuff. So if other people are having that kind of interview, then why would anyone tune in to my chat with these guys when they can just hear somebody else talk about it?
That's valid.
So I try to format the quote-unquote interviews a little bit differently. And it doesn't always work out the way that I want it to because, like, when a creator comes on, they're used to being interviewed. So they expect interview-type questions, and they expect to answer like they would in an interview.
Right. They're shoehorning in their tentpole answer for XYZ question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. So that's why I try not to prepare and just see what happens. Because usually what I want to do is let them, like, I'm a pretty good listener for the most part. I listen to what they're saying, and then I just try to play off of that.
Mm-hmm.
right? Because if they're bringing it up, it's something that they want to talk about, and I think that'll be more interesting discussion than whatever dumbass question I have about why they created a book.
Yeah, I could see that, and you actively listen, so I mean, you're not just letting somebody babble as you just sort of wander off mentally.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's hard to do that sometimes, depending on the topic. All right, I have a question for you, and then I want to also I want to go back to you talking about Mike Myers' weekly reads.
Yes.
So let me ask the Mike Myers thing.
Sure.
And then I'll ask you the question that I have for you regarding Comic Talk today. Do you find, especially after your calling, since Mike just did his calling?
Yeah.
But he approaches his collection like you said, he's a mood reader, but yet he has a library mentality. Do you think the library mentality, he's either going to have to rethink that, reposition his head for that, and that's going to be the hardest part? Or do you think he just looks at it like, well, I stopped that and I've gone on with the XYZ? Like, I think the library mentality, that's a hard hurdle to get over.
Yeah, especially if he's been doing it for so long, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to put words into Mike's mouth, and I'm sure, you know, once he actually goes through with this culling, it's going to take a couple months, right? Because he orders DCBS, so he's doing orders 2 months in advance.
For sure.
I think maybe by, like, June, July, we'll see how he actually feels about it, right? Because at that point, he's not going to have a choice.
True.
Right? Like, right now, he still has 2 months of books that he can go through. But when that happens, like, he's going to have to go to a comic shop or get on Comixology.
And that's what I would think.
I think at that point is kind of like, we'll see exactly how he feels about it. But gotcha. I think it's good. Like, I understand that he wants everything and he loves everything.
Mm-hmm.
But he made a very valid point that, like, he gets so much, he can never read everything he gets.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a very huge realization.
Yeah. So, I mean, that I could totally get. That was part of the reason for my Cullen. And I wasn't even reading as much as he does.
Oh, God, no.
So.
Yeah, you certainly don't.
I mean, he and I were chatting on private message on Twitter a little bit. And I know how much he spends on comics. There's no way that anybody in the world could read that many comics.
Right. Even if he didn't have a job.
Yeah, even if his full-time job was to read comics, he still would not have enough time in a day to read all the comics he gets.
Right.
So I totally get it. I think it's very valid that he would want to cut back.
That's how we were describing you trying to get through all of Marvel Unlimited, of the stuff that you've never ever read even once.
Mm-hmm.
You could when we were talking about the DC thing.
Yep.
It's like you could never read all of it. There's no way. You just couldn't. Even if you were open to reading it all, like some of the stuff, sure, you don't want to, you have no interest in it. But even if you were like, I want to read everything that they ever put out, you'd never have the time.
Mm-hmm.
You just wouldn't. Yeah. I thought it was fascinating to listen to, because that's sort of the come to Jesus moment that I had when I'm like, you know what? I'm going to stop sloppy. I'm going to graphic novels. I just have to do it. I have to do it for myself, because I'm never going to have enough time to sit down and read the hundreds of comics that are stacked up before those trades even come out. And at that point, like, the trade was cheaper than buying all the issues by cover. So it was like, it's a come to Jesus moment.
Yep.
Now let me ask you regarding Comic Talk today, since you're reading so much more, does that not hurt, but does that impede your other passions that you have, sitting down and watching all the movies that you want to watch, going to all the movies you want to watch, you know, watching Netflix, all the TV shows? Does that sort of like, oh, I didn't have as much free time as I thought I did?
No, you know, what's funny is I realized I had more free time than I thought I did.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Because since I give myself a deadline, like, I'm going to record this show Saturday, so I have to read the majority of the books that I picked up by Saturday, right? Mm-hmm. So I have a good idea of what I want to talk about. Because, you know, like, so I do the comic predictor, right, in which I'll pick a few books that I think look great to pick up. But if you notice, I don't always talk about those books when I do Top of the Pile, right? Because sometimes it just doesn't work out. They weren't as good as I expected, or they're not worth talking about. With some exceptions. Like, on yesterday's episode, I talked about the TMNT Urban Legends number one, which I was excited to pick up. And I read it, and I hated it.
Ooh.
But I still talked about it on the episode because of the fact that I was so excited to read it, and it didn't meet expectations at all.
Hey, that happens.
Right?
Yeah.
And I talked to Paul about it on our Discord chat, because he liked it, of course, because he's a Turtles guy.
Yeah.
But even he admitted that, like, unless you're, like, really into Turtles and you're kind of a completionist, then, like, you're not going to like the book.
Sure.
Right.
There's plenty of books that come out that, you know, your top 10, an artist in your top 20 current artist, oh, he's doing X book. Oh, this is going to be a home run. And then all of a sudden it's like, ooh, maybe not. Yeah, it's just, but I think you're at the point where, unless it's a bat book, even if it's a top 20 artist, I could see you now being like, you know what? The first one wasn't for me. I'm not going to give it an arc. I'm going to go. I have 10 other books I have to read.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just let this one go.
Yep. Well, and even with that, I'm at a point where, like, even the few physical holdouts that I have, I may just not even get those anymore and just switch those to digital.
Mm.
Right.
Mm.
Because if I'm not as excited about them, like, I don't know. It's still going to be tough for, like, Batman and Tech, because when you've got, like, thousands of issues of the series, like, how do you just cut that off, right?
And where's a good cutoff point?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I would feel the same way. Even if it was like, oh, Detective, now the new team coming on board are two people I absolutely don't want to read. Well, guess what? In 6-12 issues, they might have a brand new, you know, creative team that starts. And are you just going to start it back up and just say, well, those 12 issues, they don't matter.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need to go back. Or will it be like, damn it, it's only 12 issues. And you know what? That will complete the run. And in my like, you know, primitive brain, I need to have a complete run.
Mm-hmm.
So that means a lot to me.
Well, and the thing is, I might have to end up going back to it, right? Because that's happened to me before. When Hush came out, okay, everyone, if you ever talk to somebody, they're like, oh, what book, Batman book should I start with? I guarantee you Hush is in, like, top three for everybody.
For sure.
Well, newsflash, Nick, I actually quit buying Batman at that time because I did not like the story. And we didn't have digital, so it's not like I could go back and, you know, do anything with it. But I quit for a little bit. It wasn't that long. It was maybe a couple months. But then, of course, I had to go back and pick those up because now I had a hole in my collection.
And newsflash, Hush was the thing that made me want to start buying Batman again.
And that's true for a lot of people.
Yeah.
It's true for a lot of people.
Wait, did Hush come out before James Robinson, the Two-Face story?
Oh.
It did, didn't it? Because I do remember that James Robinson story. That totally brought me back completely into, I want to buy a lot more Batman.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, ooh, that was good.
Yeah, yeah. So, anyways.
Here nor there.
Yeah, here nor there. But, you know, like,
you know
what? I don't want
but
that.
Mike even made a good point to that effect as well. Guess what? There's always going to be back issues.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
No matter how long you go off of a character, at this point, it's not like you're buying a comic book from 1968 where the amount of issues that are out there that have been printed and are still available are un poquito. Guess what? Anything at this point, there's going to be so many copies out there that there's no way in hell, unless you're like searching for The Walking Dead number one. But no, you're looking for an established character of an issue that came out in 2017.
Mm-hmm.
It should not be hard to get. It might be pricey, but it shouldn't be hard to get.
Yep.
Yeah, I like it.
Yep, absolutely. And you know, the good point that he made is, he started doing Marvel Unlimited sometime last mm-hmm. year, right? Like Rob convinced him pretty much that he should check it out. And mm-hmm. he's been loving it. And the thing is, I think part of the culling is he's realized if he's already 6 months behind on these books, then why keep getting them when they show up in Unlimited 6 months later?
Agreed.
And that's totally valid.
Yeah.
Right? It's like if DC had DC Unlimited, I would do the same thing for 98% of DC books.
Yeah. That is adding logic to your passion.
Mm-hmm.
That's all that, like, good on Mike. And I'm fully supportive of it. Like, I get that you might not want to read digital as much, or it could hurt your eyes or what, but it's still like, the pros outweigh the cons.
Mm-hmm.
When you're calling.
Oh, sure.
But now, how do you find that you have more time? I want to go back to comic talk today. Your response.
Uh-huh.
How do you think you have more time for your other passions in life? Because it seems like you have to read a hell of a lot more comic books now. So something has to suffer.
Yeah, I find that I'm doing more varied things. I still don't have all the time that I wish I had.
Mm-hmm.
But I do find myself having more time. You know, like when I would spread out my reading through the week, like I'd pick up a few books and read them. And it almost like made me feel more exhausted, right? Because like this is comic book time and I can't do anything else in comic book time. And then when that's over, like I want to do something else to get my mind off of that. Yeah. And then I never go and, you know, watch that documentary or that TV show or whatever. Whereas I really genuinely right now, I'll sit down like Friday or Saturday. I read, I don't know, 90% of what I picked up and I'm done. Right. So any other free time that I have during the week, I can choose to do whatever I want with it. I'll go watch a documentary on Prime, or I'll catch up on a series on Netflix, or I'll watch The 100 over and over again because it's the greatest show of all time. You know, like that kind of thing. Because I don't need to carve out time every day to catch up on my books. I just do it all at once, and then that free time goes to whatever else I want to do.
Do you feel like it's carving out time that you don't have anymore? Or do you feel like the trudging through it isn't there anymore? Because there were certainly comic books that you were picking up when you were doing DCBS that were like, oh boy.
Yeah, right.
I don't know where this is going. God, I hope they change it soon or this arc ends, one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember you were very, it felt like a trudge sometimes for you.
Yep.
Well, depending on the week.
I think that might be part of the problem too, having to order so far in advance. Right? Because now I can just pretty much pick the day the books come out.
Sure.
Right? Because I'm not going to go in Comixology and they're going to run out of copies. Right?
True.
So I don't have to worry about it. So the fact that I don't need to plan ahead for what I'm getting, I mean, I still do some planning. Like, I kind of know what's coming out. But it's not like I don't have to go through the whole catalog and, like, pick this and pick that and pick the other. And then when they come in, like, read them and, you know, bag them and board them. I don't generally catalog most of my books. There's very few that I catalog.
Sure.
So, like, all that's mostly gone. You know what I mean? It's just like I get the comic, I read it, I'm done.
Nice.
This is like a weird topic to get into. But in my head, it kind of fits. You know, there's a thing where if you have too many choices, you end up not picking any of those choices.
Yes.
And I can't remember like exactly how this whole thing works.
It's like too many choices become inactivity. You don't know where to like shine the light.
Yeah, you don't know what to choose, so you end up choosing nothing.
Right. Mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
And so by getting rid of choice, you free up a lot more mental space.
Yep.
Right? That's like Steve Jobs was great at that. That's why Steve Jobs always wore the black shirt, the black turtlenecks and blue jeans. Right?
Yeah, because his uniform.
Because he didn't wake up in the... And this sounds stupid. I know this is going to sound stupid to a lot of people listening. They're like, this is a terrible example. But like, this is fact. This is psychological fact. The simple fact that when he woke up in the morning, he did not have to go into his closet and say, what am I going to wear today? Actually gave him more mental focus. Because he didn't no longer had the choice of, what am I going to wear? All he had to do is walk in the closet, pick out one of his many millions of turtlenecks and one of his many millions of pairs of jeans. They all look exactly the same, so it doesn't really matter. And that's a choice he didn't have to make. And so that mental focus would go to something else.
Yeah, it's one less thing to think about.
Right.
To compartmentalize in your head.
Yep. And there's people that do it with, like, food, for example. Right? Like,
which, hey, I got news for you. People might mock Rob Krieger, but him reading alphabetically, he just took the choice away from himself.
Right. It's totally that. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it is important. Like, it's like when I talk about time is money, right? Like, why would I waste an hour going to and back from a shop when I could just go to my computer, walk 30 steps, go to the computer and click buy it now?
For sure.
Like, it's the same thing, right? Like, an hour of my time is worth several comics. You know what I mean? Yep. So, like, if I'm not wasting an hour of my time going to a comic shop, I can buy, I don't know, we'll just say 6-7 comics. Okay, mm-hmm. That's worth the same to me.
Yep.
Right? And that's,
I get,
that's probably not true for a lot of people because of the financial thing.
I get that there's a social element going to your local comic book store. I totally understand that. And there is a value to it. But when you step back from it and like, wow, I just spent 2.5 hours in my comic book store that I had to drive to back and forth, like you said, like how much time is that? And at the end of the day, your time is worth something.
Dude, like, remember a couple years ago when I went, they had that big-ass sale in my shop, and I ended up buying, like, a full run of Stormwatch and Wildcats?
Mm-hmm.
I was literally in that comic shop for, like, 6 hours, 7 hours, looking through long boxes. Okay? Now, I spent, like, $15 for all those books. I think it was, like, 80 books that I bought. I spent, like, $15. But, you know, looking back at that time now, I probably wouldn't do that, right? Because 6 hours of my time is worth a lot more than $15.
For sure.
So I would just go on, like, my comic shop and hit buy it now.
But that was a fantastic story that you shared, just to let you know.
Oh, and that's the thing, right? Like, it was great.
I enjoy hearing it.
And it was a lot of fun going through the boxes.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, like, I mean, how much is my fun worth? I mean, maybe I can look at it that way.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know. People don't think about these kind of things, right?
No.
And like, I always get the question, like, how do you have time to read comics or like watch this show or do this or the other when like I'm working, you know, 70, 80 hours a week, right? Fortunately, I'm not working that much now, but there were months where I was 80 plus hours a week.
Mm-hmm.
But I still made time to cook. I make time every day to cook.
Yep.
Right? Because it's something that I enjoy doing. It's fun. So I make the time to do that.
Right.
But, you know, I don't know. People just have different mindsets on things.
And it's really how you value. Like, for me, cooking, I don't care how long that takes. It's almost like therapy to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just, dude, next time I'm over at your house, just, like, put a bag of carrots in front of me and have me peel them and, like, julienne them. I will be in such a zen, especially if you're like, hey, and here, go listen to your music or listen to a podcast. Dude, that's like 3 hours of therapy for me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, sign me up. And some people, I'm sure, get the same way when they're like bagging and boarding their comics and putting them away and making them, you know, organizing them. Like, there is part of your brain that sometimes needs to click off and just recenter.
Yep.
And it's important. It's important to do stuff like that. Just for me, it's not important for me to go spend an hour and a half of my time going to a comic book store because I'm never ever searching for the 9.8s to get graded. I don't care about that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I hate to say, and I mean, we've talked about this. You can tear off the cover and sell that to me for a dollar, and I'd be like, yeah, okay, because I'm not paying $4. Yeah. Like, it's just, I don't care. Like, that's why for me, like, giving away a long box is nothing because it's like, are you going to get enjoyment out of it? That's all I care about. Or are you going to turn around and sell it on eBay and make tons of money off these books that I didn't even know was worth money? Like, at that point, I don't really care. Mm-hmm. I gave them to you. Do what you want, and I just hope whatever you do with them makes you happy. Mm-hmm. You know? Just, it's, yeah, you have to please your mental side just a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what I love about cooking, though. You're right. It's very zen.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, I think...
As well as the reaction. It's the reaction. It's almost like you're giving their people who are eating your food, just by their facial reactions, are giving you a compliment without saying anything.
Right.
Because you just know you're like, you're satisfying them. They like it. Whether they can do better or not, that doesn't matter. Like, it's just the appreciation of it. I don't know. It's weird.
See, I take cooking almost like an exercise, a mental exercise, right? Mm. Because like you and I get made fun of by our circle of friends for being food hipsters, mm-hmm. and I think that's totally fine. Like I'm proud mm-hmm. to be a food hipster. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Because like I generally try not to cook the same thing more than like twice a month. Okay.
And yeah,
the reason for that is, number one, I get bored easy. So if I eat the same stuff over and over again, I'm just going to hate it. Like, Nick, let me tell you, there was a time where I was making my own hummus from scratch.
Mm-hmm.
My wife and I ate hummus for like 2 weeks straight.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because we love hummus.
Yeah, ditto.
We ate it for 2 weeks straight. We have not eaten hummus in like 2 years.
You know what the best part of hummus, making your own hummus, is?
What's that?
Adding in extra tahini.
Because
That tahini is damn good.
That shit is... You're right about that.
But dude, I'm the same way. I used to have Chipotle at my previous job probably twice a week for a good 9 months. I haven't had Chipotle in about 3-4 years.
Yeah, you get bored.
Yeah, I just... They don't offer anything that I possibly would even want to try at this point.
Well, so what I like about cooking is I think this is true for like most men, right? And I don't want to like overgeneralize because I'm sure that there's women that have this type of thinking as well. But mm-hmm. I think it's especially true of men that men like to create things, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or like fix things, right? I remember growing up, like the reason I became such a tech nerd is I loved like opening up a computer and seeing like how everything's connected. Right. So I can build a computer from scratch with my eyes closed as a result. Right. But I like to learn things. And I think cooking is that, right? Like you're taking a bunch of separate things and you're combining them in a way that makes it greater than the ingredients. And for me, like cooking is almost like a puzzle, right? Like a Buddhist cone, as they say.
Mm-hmm,
where it's a mental exercise. So a lot of people cook and they're just like, I don't know, they make spaghetti and like throw the jar of spaghetti sauce in there or whatever. Like, I don't want to do that. I want to figure out like, how can I, at what point do I put the spaghetti in? So by the time that I cut all my vegetables and boil them together and let the sauce simmer that I made from scratch, because I'm a hipster like that, at what point will that sauce be ready at the same time that my spaghetti is ready? Right,
mm-hmm.
Like that's a puzzle for me, and it's fun for me to figure out how that works. And if I do like the same recipe all the time, I don't have that, right? Because it becomes second nature.
Right.
I know exactly when to put everything in.
Same with the slow cooker.
Mm-hmm.
Like there is no math problem there. You just throw everything in, and in however much time, it's done.
It's done.
Like right. it's pretty easy peasy. There is no math problem. The fun thing. And I think maybe we both are raised similar. It's the, you gotta, like it stressed my mom out. You have to get everything on the table at the same time.
Yeah.
So it's hot.
Right.
you can't have no warm peas. Everything has to be hot. And that's that is a fun puzzle to try to figure out.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and I need to know, because I know Heather doesn't cook all that much.
Correct.
My wife, she cooks. There's quite a few things that she'll cook, especially like breakfast type items, as well as like if we want desserts or sweets, she's really good at that. But since I've become a lot more impassioned and I feel like I'm doing a much better job with cooking than I did previously, the last like 2 months, she's been like, "You are a kitchen Nazi." Whenever I'm in here trying to do something, you're like, no, 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 let me do that. No, 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 let me do that. No, no, no. And I think I sort of like, I just tell her like, no, it's not a control issue. It's more like, this is my garage. I don't know cars. But at this point, I feel like, you know what? I can do that, and I can do that pretty good. And I also get the benefit of it's sort of therapeutic. So why don't you just let me do that?
Mm-hmm.
Not that I can do it better than her, but it's just like, don't take that fun away from me.
Oh, yeah. Now, Heather knows not to get in the kitchen when I'm making dinner. You know, like she can clean up my mess after I'm done if she wants. But like, if I'm cooking, don't touch my shit. Well, yeah. Well, the thing is, she's very particular about loading the dishwasher, so it works out perfectly.
Oh, because I
love cooking, and I'm very particular about the way that I cook, and she's very particular about the way dishes are washed. And so I'll just put everything in the sink, and then she'll load it in the dishwasher. Like, she will smart. Yell at me if I load the dishwasher, because she swears that I load it wrong.
Too good.
So, I mean, it's fine. You know, it is what it is.
Yeah, for sure.
But, God, I love cooking. It's so much fun.
Yeah, same here.
And you know what? What I realized, too, is with these dietary changes that I've made, and I know you've made some recently as well, I find that it becomes more fun to cook because I'm having to use more varied ingredients to achieve a similar goal, right? So the fact that I cut out the majority of meats, like we still do a lot of seafood, more seafood mm-hmm. than we were before. You know, we cut out beef completely. Chicken, we've pretty much cut out completely. I think we've had chicken like once in the last month. So I'm having a lot of fun trying to figure out how to make these meals that I kind of know how to make, but with new ingredients, right? Because you have to make them differently, right? And you have to be more creative when you have, in some respects, more limited choices in what you're making,
mm-hmm.
right? So, like, I can't make ground beef tacos, but, like, what can I use that will give me maybe a similar texture to a ground beef, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, by the way, I found black beans and cauliflower are pretty damn close to a ground beef taco.
Really?
Yeah.
Like a riced cauliflower?
Yeah, riced cauliflower.
Dang. All right. Because I have a taste for that. I might have to see. I know where you've gone with your decision, and I'm only on day 4, but I've cut out carbs. And the gymnastic hurdle of like, oh, let's have chicken, but what can we bread that with? Because mm-hmm. I can't have bread.
Because you can't have bread, right?
Right. So it's just like, oh, man. And then there's like we had cauliflower rice tonight. But the wife added peas and turmeric into it.
Oh, interesting.
And usually for me, cauliflower rice still has that, like, it still smells like wet feet. It's still, you know, it's just like, it is never my best. Like, broccoli's the worst, followed closely by cauliflower.
Mm-hmm.
But just adding a little bit of turmeric and then those peas, I was like, this is very, like, at this point, like, it set me thinking, well, if I add a little soy sauce and some carrots, I think we might have a, you know, fried rice type combo going here. Like, it set me down the idea of, like, I can take some mushrooms and I can add liquid smoke to them, and mm-hmm. I can make those almost like a bacony flavor, mm-hmm. and there's fried rice. But I like you said, it's a cool puzzle to try to, like, figure out substitutes.
So I'm going to give you a riced cauliflower tip. This might be an Italian thing, but of course, growing up, I put Parmesan cheese in everything. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Part of the reason is Parmesan cheese is salty, and I love salty things. And mm-hmm. so naturally, to me, Parmesan cheese makes everything taste better. Because I don't know, for some reason, like, salt has a metal taste to me. So I try not to use a lot of salt. Mm-hmm. Plus, like, salt's not really that good for you, you know? Like,
no.
You need some salt, but people generally overdo the salt. So anyways, mm-hmm. growing up, like, we put Parmesan in everything. And so to me, adding Parmesan to anything makes it taste better. So, I mean, it's not a carb thing, right? There's no carbs in Parmesan cheese. So you could just put Parmesan in your rice cauliflower.
For sure.
Because of the fact that I've cut out so much meat, what I've found is a Parmesan cheese substitute.
Oh.
And that is made with nutritional yeast and cashews.
Man, you are a big fan of the cashews, aren't you?
Dude, I love me some nuts.
Even before your little experiment, you've always been a cashew man.
Yeah, well, dude, cashews, you know, they don't have a strong flavor.
Mm-hmm.
So you can do cool things with it. So if you want a Parmesan cheese substitute, nutritional yeast, and cashews. Cashews give you the texture, and the yeast has a cheesy flavor, so it works. And if you're talking about breading stuff, you can use cashews, ground cashews, for breading.
Ah, I never thought of that.
Yeah, all you do is you ground the cashews, and you add some olive oil in it, and then you just use that as your breading. No eggs or anything.
I might have to give that a shot.
Yeah, give it a shot. It tastes pretty good.
Yeah, my wife, she's allergic to soy, so we don't even have soy sauce.
Mm-hmm.
So she's found like a, I think it's vegan, version of soy sauce.
Mm.
And it does definitely give you a little bit of salt, but without the soy.
Yeah.
And that's also a problem when I'm giving up carbs. It's like you giving up meats. Imagine if your partner can't have soy. Like, that just cuts out, like, okay, there goes the tofu. Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Like, darn it.
Well, dude, let me tell you, like, having to cut some things out, you realize sometimes that you are missing some really good-tasting stuff. Like, I still make rice, for example. We use jasmine rice because it's a little stickier. But, of course, rice is high in carbs, so I try not to use it a lot. And I've switched to a lot of quinoa. Well, as a result, I ended up trying quinoa sushi for the first time, and it is the greatest thing ever created.
But it's also a carb.
Well, yes. Mm-hmm. But it's a healthier carb.
It is. And trust me, I'm not going zero. I've already told my wife, like, my problem with any type, and I don't want to call it a diet. It's like a lifestyle change.
Yeah.
But my point is, a lot of people give up on diets or lifestyle changes because they're saying, I absolutely don't. I cannot have that ever again the rest of my life. So I've already told myself, like, you know what? If I'm going to have a carb day and I want to have like a banh mi sandwich once a month, then I'm going to have a banh mi sandwich.
Totally.
But I'm not going to blow it on like, let's go to Subway. Like, no. If I'm going to indulge once a month, it's going to be something really fun and nice.
Well, and you know, the thing is, I mean, let's be real. Carbs taste really fucking good. You know what I'm saying?
They do. They absolutely
like
do.
Like a really good sandwich or a really good pasta, like, you can't beat that. But if you have it all the time, like, it's not that special anymore. You know what I mean?
True. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there is the health factor, sure, but like the fact that you can try more stuff and make the stuff that was kind of mundane better, I think is cool too.
I mean, trust me, today alone, and granted, you know, I had off today, so I had a lot more time at home. But I got to say, with this new eating, it's like, sure, I haven't cut out. I know carbs turn to sugar. Okay. And most of it goes right around like the male body. Most of it hits right in the stomach area.
Mm hmm.
But just today alone, I probably had 4 servings of fruit and probably like 3 servings of vegetables, which is a hell of a lot more than I've ever had in ages.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, well, yeah, I'm not cutting out sugar. I'm just getting it from a banana or an apple.
Yep.
And what the hell's wrong with that? Instead of, you know, a candy bar or the bread from a Big Mac. And I even told my wife, like, I'm sort of a dummy when it comes to nutrition. I just have a weird like monkey head. My dad's the same way. But I even told her, I'm like, you know, just giving up carbs alone, how can you not lose weight when every time you want a chicken tender, no one offers grilled chicken tenders. They're always breaded.
Mm-hmm.
And if I can't have the bread, guess what? I'm not having that deep fried chicken tender. Which, how can that not be better for you?
Mm-hmm.
So it just cuts out a lot of deep fried stuff. I mean, like, you know, French fries. You're not going to have those.
Well, Nick, I have a revelation for you. Well, two, actually. If you want,
I should be deep frying my cauliflower rice. Is that what you're saying?
No, dude. You toss it in sea salt and olive oil, mm-hmm. add a little bit of thyme, and you bake it in the oven.
What, cauliflower rice?
No, just cauliflower florets.
Oh, God. Cauliflower sucks, dude.
Dude, if you make it this way, it does not suck.
Olive oil and thyme.
Olive oil, thyme, and sea salt. You bake it at 400 degrees for 15 minutes, then you set the broiler for 5 minutes. And it is fucking delicious. This works with broccoli also. And, well, any of the cruciferous vegetables, Brussels sprouts, any of that stuff.
All right. Hey, I'll trust you. I'll give it a shot.
I'm telling you. All right, if you,
I like cauliflower rice. I'm already there with the food processor. Throw those florets right in there, and then you get the stinky toe smell. You wring out that water and you throw them on a baking sheet with whatever flavoring. Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm right there. I'm right there for that. Well, but a floret?
I'm telling you. Mm. I'm telling you. Do it the way that I told you. You will be like, Martin was so right. Martin is like Martin. The cauliflower Jesus.
The cauliflower king.
Yeah. Chick-fil-A has grilled chicken tenders, by the way.
Oh, okay.
So you can try that. This is going to sound super weird.
But hold on. Before we leave the Chick-fil-A. Since I've only gone there and had naughty food, let me guess that their salads are not banging.
Yeah, they're all right.
Okay. They're probably as good as McDonald's.
Yeah, the McDonald's one's not that bad. They only have that Southwest chicken salad thing.
Yeah, I know.
Which is fine. The dressing's good. It is.
But they probably don't have grilled chicken.
Yeah, they have grilled chicken. You can get it grilled or crispy. Do? Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, then that... All right, okay, that's good.
Yeah, that's... I mean, if I go to McDonald's, that's what I'll get.
But Chick-fil-A, it's just like, you go there and it's like, oh, there's the potato. Like, that is a high-carb place.
Oh, yeah. Ugh. Oh, yeah. Another revelation. Taco Bell...
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Believe it or not, is one of the healthiest fast foods you can get.
I believe that.
I told my wife, she's like, there's no fucking way. We argued about this for like an hour, and I had to show her like the menu and the ingredients and all that. Taco Bell is actually pretty good for you, and I want to try this freaking naked chicken taco thing because it sounds delicious.
So do I, but it's breaded, which I'm pissed about.
Yeah, yeah.
But then my wife's like, but you can go there. They have the refried beans with the like cheese on top of it. And I just looked at her. I'm like, yeah, but what chip can I stick in that? And besides, she makes great refried beans, so why would I go there for refried beans? Look, other than she wants a 7-layer burrito, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to tell you that if you're like paleo or like do a keto diet or something, Taco mm-hmm. Bell is like perfect. Like you could live off Taco Bell.
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm with you. And I hate to say it, that might even be one of my like, this month I'll go there for a cheat day.
There you go.
Because you can eat very well for about $7. Mm-hmm. So,
like we always say, it's delicious garbage food.
It is delicious garbage food. The thing that always shocks me when it comes to fast food is when you look at the calories for a Big Mac.
Oh, God, don't do that.
But that's what I'm saying. They're not as bad as you think they would be.
Yeah, yeah.
Compared to all the other fast food stuff. Like, that is a huge sandwich for not as many calories as you expect it to be.
Yeah. And really, if you didn't have the buns and the mac sauce, which is what makes it extra delicious.
Yeah, for sure.
Then it's actually really not that bad.
Why would you be going there, then? The mac sauce.
Absolutely. Absolutely. To give us off topic, there's one thing that I wanted to bring up to you.
Yeah, feel free.
So this Friday, June 1st, mm-hmm. there is a Comixology announcement.
Yes. I looked at the silhouette that they showed on their banner.
Uh-huh.
I have no clue what those characters are. But I'm very curious. And I think this is going to be just like Amazon when they bought Comixology, and it took them a year before you could link your Amazon account to Comixology.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And now all of a sudden it's like, what are they doing? Because it's not comics. It's not going to be, you know, Comixology Unlimited. They already did that. So what would be your guess that they're going to be trying to do?
Well, it seems to me like what they're trying to do now that all the retailers got all pissy about Comixology doing super cheap Marvel books.
Yeah, the Marvel Summit?
Yeah. Is that they're going to do their own line of comics.
Interesting.
I mean, I think that's what makes the most sense.
Really interesting.
They're going to, I think they're going to revamp the way that they do the publishing thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Comixology Submit is going to go away. And they're going to make it just a lot easier for indie creators to put their books up on Comixology.
I like that.
And
I like the idea of digital only.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if they change the cut that they get. Cause they get a big cut, dude. 70% is a lot.
Comixology gets 70%.
Yeah.
Of creator only books?
Correct.
Or DC, Marvel?
The creator owned stuff.
I'd love to know how much their cut is for DC or Marvel.
I would love to know that as well.
Because there's no way it's 70%.
No, no.
If it was 70%, Marvel would be like, we're taking all of our stuff and going home. We have our own service. Why would we do that?
Yeah, possibly.
Huh. 70%'s big.
Yeah, it's a lot.
That's a lot of money. And that's like, it's not even 70% for the first year. It's 70% through the rest of time.
Through the rest of time.
Wow.
The process of submitting your book from my discussions with people is not very easy either. It could take months to have your book approved.
Sheesh.
Because everything's reviewed by a person individually, and it has to conform to all the guidelines, right? So it has to be able to be read properly on a phone and on a tablet and on a computer.
Wow.
You know, with like the width of things and the height of things and the panel layouts and all that stuff. So it's a lot of work. And then Comixology does the guided view stuff themselves. And that's all done by hand. So that makes it take extra longer.
For sure.
So it's not an easy process. So my assumption is they're going to slightly automate some of that stuff. But I think the big deal is that they're going to make a big push for Comixology being a publisher of books. Yep.
Now, does Comixology need help in their Midwest Chicago office as well as their North Carolina office?
If so, sign us up.
Yes, we're very efficient.
We are.
And we can wear many hats.
Many hats.
Yeah.
And hammocks. Banana hammocks.
Mm-hmm. Well, no. Summer hammock.
So
that's really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
It's a nice vehicle for people who are debating on, or guess what, they don't get picked up by a third tier publisher, and it's like, you know what, I'm just going to go over here and do it through Comixology.
Well, you know, it'd be really cool too is if they bring in that subscribe with Prime thing that they do on Twitch, but they bring that into comics.
Ooh, I like that.
Right, so as a Prime perk, you can be like, I don't know, you have a $10 allotment. You pick five creators, and you know your Prime subscription automatically gives you access to those books.
I would say Death Betty here, have my Prime subscription.
Ryan's so cool, dude. Ryan was the fucking best.
I love him.
He was the best. That was
a fantastic interview.
Yeah, that was one of my favorites.
Yeah, he's good people.
Yeah. So we'll see. I'm excited for that, dude. I got to work when they announce it, so that's going to kind of suck. I'm going to see if
that really does.
Yeah, I'm going to see if I can sneak away and watch the Twitch announcement.
Because that's in the afternoon, right?
Yeah, what time is it? Like 1 o'clock or something?
Is that Thursday?
It's Friday? Yeah, damn, the first. Man,
I could fit it into my schedule if it was Thursday.
Oh, wait a second. 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Ooh, that's bad for you, dude. That's for your time.
Right.
Oof. You might have to call in sick.
No, I can't do that. Can't do that, Pally.
Yeah, I find it interesting. I mean, it's got to be big, right? They're live streaming it on Twitch.
I'm sure they will rerun it on Twitch, too.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. But they're live streaming it there. If you have an Amazon bookstore near you, they'll be streaming it there. they're streaming at the Amazon pop-up stores. So
they're treating it right. Yeah. Amazon is treating it right.
Big push.
Yeah, it's I like
big
it.
Big push. So we'll see.
That's cool. That's going to be fun. We're going to have to talk about that on Thursday.
Oh, hell yeah.
Okay.
Hell yeah.
Sign me up.
You got anything else, Nick?
Well, one quick thing. Since you asked me this question, and I'm sure the listener is screaming that I should ask you this question. What have you been reading over this holiday weekend that you're not going to be talking about on comic book?
Well, most of what I read, I've talked about on there.
Have you read any vintage stuff? How about that?
No, I haven't read any old stuff yet. Okay. I did set aside about 10 trades.
Ooh.
That I'll be checking out this next few days. But I didn't get to them. I finished Annihilation and it was still freaking amazing.
Good.
I'm trying to think what I read. I want to plug this book again. I talked about it a little bit on CTT, but
sure.
Are you reading The Dead Hand?
No, I am not.
Okay.
And you have plugged it on this very podcast before, and I'm still pissed I haven't picked it up.
Let me tell you. Oh, fireworks outside. The Dead Hand is an image book that takes place in the present with flashback stories set in the Cold War.
Mm-hmm.
The first issue was a little confusing because there was a lot being thrown at you, but it was beautiful to look at.
Mm-hmm.
The second issue came out like 2 weeks ago, I think. And I just read it this past week. I was a little behind, I guess. Mm-hmm. And God, Nick. God. This book, Nick, just surprises me every time I pick it up. Now, granted, wow. It's only two issues in. But you get a little bit more about what's happening. The story in the present takes place in this like idyllic town. Just looks like Midwest America, really. But you learn at the end of the first issue that it's in the middle of Siberia. And so, of course, you expect it to have some connections to the Cold War flashbacks. And it does, as we learn in the second issue. Spoiler alert, this town is created by the U.S. government or maybe a conglomerate of governments to keep an eye on a Russian artificial intelligence that the Russians created during the Cold War to deploy nuclear weapons.
Sheesh.
And you don't get that at first because you see this one spy guy who pretends to be the sheriff of the town in the present. He's talking to a little boy. But then as you see at the end of the issue, all that is happening within the AI's construct. So the AI sees itself as a little boy talking to this man.
Wow.
But when you see the turn at the last page, he's just sitting at a desk in front of a computer monitor reading what the computer says.
Who is?
The spy guy.
Oh, okay.
He's reading this monitor.
I thought the construct was reading.
No. The spy guy is reading on the monitor and having a chat with a computer by keyboard.
Sheesh.
But you get that whole interaction as the way the computer sees it, which is the computer is a little boy and the guy is the sheriff of the town and they're having a discussion about some events that happened, which I'm not going to spoil. And the AI is like, I'm going to kill this guy because he's going to hurt me. And the guy's like, he's not going to hurt you. We've taken care of, blah, blah, blah. But of course, the AI has control of these nuclear weapons. So the AI is not a little boy. It's just a computer. And it was fucking awesome. Yeah.
Wow.
The Dead Hand is fucking, it's brilliant. It's brilliant.
That sounds like some smart sci-fi just going down rabbit holes.
Yeah, it's really brilliant.
Wow.
Who writes that? Kyle Higgins is the writer.
My man. Joliet's very own.
Oh, really?
Hell yeah.
No kidding.
Oh, hell yeah. He's still there.
Really?
He's the man, dude. He comes to a lot of cons around here. He's really, really fun and smart. Wow.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Yeah. It's freaking amazing. The colors is, what's her name?
Jordi Belair.
Jordi Belair.
Ah, ding, ding.
And the artist is, I gotta look this up because I can't, Mooney's his last name. Mooney. Stephen Mooney.
Ooh, okay.
Dude, I'm telling you.
Did he also do the cover?
Yes.
Good God, his art's really nice.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. That cover's pretty.
Yeah, it is. I definitely recommend you pick that up. I'm trying to think what he's done. He did DC Bombshells. Is that what he did? Maybe.
Okay.
Let's find out. DC Bombshells, Grayson, Midnighter, Secret Origins. Yeah. So he's done a bunch of stuff at DC.
Midnighter.
He did the covers for Midnighter.
Ooh. Hello. Hello.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. He's incredible, dude. Incredible.
I like all this.
You got to pick that up. I know you're a trade waiter. Just put this on your list for when it comes out on trade.
For sure.
Because you will not be disappointed.
Yeah, it sounds really good.
Yeah, it's freaking awesome.
I love it.
That is the book where, like, I'm okay putting it at the end of my reading pile because I know regardless of what I read, like, this is going to be, like, the highlight of my day.
Dang. Is it one of those books that you feel like you have to read pretty slow? To let it all just sink in?
Yeah, in some respects, I guess so. But he does a really good job at, like, interweaving the slow dialogues and revelations with, like, a shit ton of action and stuff blowing up. Because you have, like, the Cold War flashbacks, and that's just, like, straight-up spy stuff. But they're like, super spies. Like, the main character, he looks like a reverse Captain America. He's got this face mask with a star on it, and the star goes into his chest. It's pretty badass looking. Pretty badass looking. Other than that, I don't think there's anything else that I would want to talk about. I know I talked about this on that episode, but there was a one-shot Darkhawk story, Infinity Countdown Darkhawk. Do you remember Darkhawk from the 90s? Hello. Oh no, did we lose Nick? Well, it looks like I lost Nick, so we're going to...
Hey!
Oh, hey, there you are.
Were you on mute the whole time?
Come on. No, I was talking. You weren't even on mute, dude. You just... Nothing.
Yeah, I know. It's nothing from you. It was dead. Discord.
Fucking Discord. We're gonna try this new thing next time, Nick.
Uh-oh.
You don't need an app or anything. It'll be fine.
Oh. Okay.
It's fancy.
Ew.
You can even call in with your phone.
I even like that more.
Anyway, I was talking about Infinity Countdown Darkhawk.
Oh, nice.
Dude. All right, so I love Darkhawk. I talked about the book a little bit. One thing I forgot to mention. Nick.
Yes.
Recall a time known as the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Who was the greatest bounty hunter of that era in comics?
Oh, in comics. Darn it, I already had my answer.
Yeah, not Dog. Dog doesn't count.
Mine was going to be Robert De Niro.
Oh, he was pretty good.
He was pretty good. Yeah, pretty fun.
No, but this is in comics.
Comics?
The greatest comic book bounty hunter of the 1990s.
Would Deathstroke be considered a bounty hunter?
Oh, you're so close. Because, of course, every character created in the 90s had either dead, blood, or death in his name. So you're on the right track.
I don't know. Now I want to... Oh, wait. Are you going to go Deathblow?
Oh, you're so close. You're half right. In Infinity Countdown Darkhawk, after we get everything that happens and we learn what's going on with the changes in Darkhawk, we meet the greatest bounty hunter in comics of the 1990s, and his name was Death's Head.
Oh, God.
The greatest bounty hunter in comics.
Oh, boy.
Death's Head is in that book, and he was fucking awesome.
Wow. You just brought it real, didn't you? Oh, my God.
Dude, I was reading it. I was very excited to read it, right? Because I loved Darkhawk back in the day.
Sure.
And so I'm reading this book, and all of a sudden, like, I see this dude with a death mask, and I'm like, holy shit, they did not just put Death fucking Head in here. And sure as shit, it was Death's Head.
For no reason.
Well, I mean, there's a reason, because, you know.
Sure.
Space!
It's the 90s.
But, good God. Yeah, Death's Head is in it. And it was pretty awesome to see Death's Head. I love the shit out of Death's Head. Listen, I don't give a shit what anybody says. If you like really shitty stuff, then you should be proud of yourself for liking really shitty stuff.
Okay? Yeah.
Do not make excuses to anybody else. Batman vs. Superman was great. Justice League was great. Death's Head is the greatest comic book character of all time. And that's the bottom line.
You know what? I'm even going to pile on, because this is sort of my childhood. And this was completely stupid, even though people want to rewrite it because it was Gil Kane. But Spider-Man growing the six arms.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty stupid. Pretty dumb, but I freaking love it. Come at me, anyone. Feel free.
See, there you go. Six-arm Spider-Man is the Taco Bell of comic book characters.
He is. Good God. Oh, it's just the best. Like, I keep hoping during the Clone Wars, it's like, just please bring on the, like, eight-armed-legged, whatever, Spider-Man. Just bring back that. You want to clone something? Clone that dumb character.
Mm-hmm. He was pretty awesome, dude. They had that one episode in the Spider-Man animated series. Mm-hmm. Where he grew the six arms.
So cool.
It was the best. What happened to Mobius? Yeah. Is he still around? Mobius was the coolest vampire ever.
Hey, I hope he shows up in Clone Wars. That's all I know.
I know you're going to be excited for Spider-Geddon, although I'm not sure if you're going to be excited about the writer. But
who's the writer?
Gerard Way.
Oh, I like Gerard Way. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd be excited for that.
He's bringing back Spider. You remember Spider?
I'm reading Spider right now, Pally.
Are you?
Yeah.
Dude, Spider. She was in what, like, two pages in that. What was the one that we read? Spider-Verse.
Yeah.
She was there for like two pages.
I didn't even know Gerard Way was over at Marvel.
Yeah. Interesting, right?
So, no Doom Patrol? Doom Patrol is no more?
Yeah, that was the fun part. So, I think the Young Animal stuff is on hiatus to get it back on track.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. So it's funny because he's the head of Young Animal and he can't get those books on track, and yet he's writing a Marvel book.
That'll make it a lot easier to get it back on track.
Yeah. So he's writing the Spider-Geddon stuff, and then my boys Zach and Lonnie are gonna be doing I don't remember if it's a one shot or a mini series of Spider.
Nice.
Yep.
I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and just a complete sidebar. I know we have to wrap up. I know you have a 15-hour day. but let me give you this real quick story, and then I want your reaction to this, because we haven't talked in a while. And we're not going to go into this movie. We can do it Sunday if you want, but not right now, because I know we want to wrap this up. I bring Tom Wetmore, mm-hmm. my fab dad. Go see hashtag fab dad. I bring him to Deadpool 2 because my dad loves the violence, loves the action.
Mm-hmm.
We're sitting in the theater, sweet ass seats. My dad has the double buttered popcorn, because he just can't get enough butter in that thing. If it was soggy swimming in that butter, it wouldn't be enough for him. So he's chowing down. We're watching the trailers. The Predator trailer comes up.
Oh yeah.
And after every trailer, Tom's gig is to look over at his son, Nick, with the look of, are we going to go see that shit? So he watches the Predator trailer, and then he looks over at me and he goes, what the hell did I just see there? I think it was that kid fiddling around with the dumb helmet.
Uh-huh.
He was just like, I have no idea what I just watched. What the hell's going on?
Amazing.
But could that possibly be good? Because part of the trailer looked good, and then part of it looked like hot garbage.
All right, so here's my take on it.
Yes.
As a longtime Predator fan.
Yes, I have to ask the expert.
Yeah, as a longtime Predator fan, it looks like hot garbage.
Thank you.
Okay, with that said, Olivia Munn is in it, so I will go see it.
She is.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah.
It's good stuff.
That is real good stuff. Yeah. But thank you for that.
Yeah, okay, yeah, good. No problem. Good. No problem. They better not ruin it. That's all I'm going to say. because I will start a petition to petition the studio to petition them to remake the movie.
And the thing is, when Arnold did it in what, 85?
86, I think, yeah.
86. Special effects back then, not near as good as today.
Nope.
Budget, not as good as today.
Nope.
But in 86, Predator was pretty much all done, and correct me if I'm wrong, but pretty much all done in daylight.
Yes.
Very, very little shadows, and that looked so effing kick-ass. And then this new Predator, maybe it was just the lighting in the IMAX version of Deadpool 2 that I went to go see, but Jesus Christ, everything was not even in shadows. It looked like a blackout.
Mm-hmm.
There, I couldn't see what the hell was going on. I couldn't see hardly anything.
Yeah, it was hard to see.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was hard to see.
Which maybe they can correct that before the movie comes out. I'm not sure. I don't know how to do that. Dude, Hollywood magic.
Listen, they're doing like genetically modified predators. Like, come on, dude. You don't have to Jurassic Park everything. You know what I mean?
No. No. I don't need a predator that looks like... What if we took a lion and made it three times larger and put a laser beam out of its eye? Granted, that would be pretty dope and kick ass, but that ain't Predator.
Mm-hmm.
I want one freaking Predator just wiping the town out. That's mm-hmm. what I want.
I'm with you.
And you
buddy.
Know what? Maybe he's looking for his helmet. And hey, you know, that 8-year old in 86, that 8-year old might have got dusted. You don't know.
Mm-hmm.
He ain't going to get dusted now. I guarantee you he'll be a friend. He's going to make friends with that Predator.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, good. Because it was so good. My dad gave me a look, a smirk on his face like, what the heck? Because he brought me to Arnie.
Sure.
We saw that together.
Sure.
He gave me a look like, this ain't my Predator.
Look, here's the thing, all right? Look, I'm going to say this. I love the Predator. I love Aliens. I loved even the crappy Predator versus Aliens. I'm okay with them changing stuff from the source material, totally. But, you know, if you're going to change stuff, you got to make it good. And this just doesn't look good. That's all.
Hey, there's no Jesse Ventura in this. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
Yeah. But I don't want to see Olivia Munn get into a kung fu fight with the Predator.
I would, you know, love like, to see that.
The Predator has those dumb claws. He's just gonna pop those out and Wolverine her arm off.
And
I would be okay with that.
Yeah,
that would be pretty dope.
The thing is, like, none of those characters, I mean, granted, the trailer's pretty short, but yeah, none of those characters seem like they would be a threat to a Predator, right? Like, you know Arnold, right? Arnold's a badass. Even in 86, he was a badass. So, you know, like, there's going to be some shit going down. When they did Predator 2, who was the guy in Predator 2? Oh, God, what was his name? The black guy.
Yeah, the guy from Lethal Weapon.
Yeah, the guy from Lethal Weapon. Danny Glover?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Like, that was a little weird, right? But, like, you know, he's a cop, and L.A. was like a dump in that movie. So, like, okay, super tough cop, maybe he can handle the Predator. And then when you saw it, like, it was kind of believable. But mm-hmm. ever since then, like, most of the people going up against the Predator, I like the girl in Alien versus Predator, though, when they mm-hmm. when they go on that expedition in Antarctica, because they did that in the Predator comics. They had that one human girl that, like, they allowed into the tribe because she was a total badass. So that kind of worked out. But I don't see any of that from the mythology in comics or movies for any of these characters. So I don't know.
Hey, you want to give this movie a pass?
No, I'm gonna see it.
No. If you want to give this movie a pass for me.
Oh yeah.
Have Danny Glover in it, and he's just driving by and he looks over and sees the, like, scaly, you know, the Predator, how he hides, like the little, like, jiggly jaggly, like, look of him, like, camouflaging himself to a background.
Yeah.
Just have Danny Glover look and just be like, oh no, I'm not doing this again, and just drive off. I'd be like, okay, we know where this whole thing's going, and I like it.
Yeah, I like that. Or like when the Predator's coming down to the town, everyone's like freaking out and running away from the monster, you know? And then mm-hmm. like Arnold pops out of nowhere. He's like, everybody, get down! I think that'd be awesome.
I'll take that.
Yeah.
I'll take awesome. That.
Oh, God. Now I have to go watch Predator. God.
Yeah, just watch the first one.
I've seen that movie like dozens of times. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's the movie that you stop at.
Oh, yeah.
It's one of those few that no matter where it is and you tune into it, it's like, yep, got to watch
it. Yep, got to watch it. Exactly. Yeah. All right, Nick, it is time to wrap this episode up.
Let's go.
Of this fine Nerdy Legion podcast. Thank you for listening. You can, of course, find the Nick Wetmore at Nick Wetmore. I am at Geekvine. The show is at Nerdy Legion. NerdyLegion@gmail.com is the email address. And be sure to rate this fine show 13 out of 5 stars on your favorite podcatcher. We'll be back at some point in the near future. Thanks for listening.